Hey everyone, this podcast is part of Story Mode, the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. You can support us and gain access to other great exclusive podcasts at patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/GAMEFULLY unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds.
Yeah, hi everybody.
Hey everyone.
My name is David Bell.
And mine is Tom Ryman.
Yes it is, that's true. Also, we just watched Dark Phoenix.
Phoenix!
Look. You're special, Jean. And if you stop fighting that force inside you, if you embrace it, he will possess the very power of a god.
It's Wesley Snipes' character in Demolition Man. That's what I was doing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Do you want to start? I have two things. I have two statements I want to make about this movie.
Okay. Let me have it. Let me have it with both barrels.
One is that I liked the movie.
Uh-huh.
The other is that I'm very disappointed in critics for promising me a hilariously bad movie. Because I don't think this movie was that bad. And that disappointed me.
Yeah, I think this is the best X-Men movie since First Class, which admittedly isn't saying much.
No, but for people who need the context, this is at about a 20% from critics on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
And that's... Here's the Rotten Tomatoes has a shitty algorithm, which, you know, like... Sometimes movies aren't thumbs up or thumbs down. There's a spectrum.
Many reviews are not pass fail, but that's the only way Rotten Tomatoes can categorize them.
Right. And like often there'll be this weird like problem between, you know, between the critics and the audiences where the critics will give it way too low and the audience will be like, it's the best movie ever. And like it's usually somewhere in between. Usually I agree with critics. In this case, I agree the audience score is about 65%.
And
that's exactly that seems about right. It's not a bad movie.
There's nothing hilariously bad about this movie except for the fast and loose way that they treat space.
Yes.
In the very beginning.
Oh yeah, for sure. But like, I was reading a tweet by someone who called this movie like incomprehensible and said like was talking about how it's incoherent. Like,
is
this
it?
Is so incoherent. And they said that there was one scene, a big set piece dedicated to crossing a street. And it's like, how crazy is that? And I was like, that sounds fucking nuts. I can't wait to see it. Then you watch the movie and it's like, no, it's an action scene that takes place in a street.
Yes.
Like, yes, they're trying to get from one side of it to the other, but it's not like, that's a really, like, it's,
right.
Again,
that
it's been
is,
very misrepresented.
Is, yeah, that is like cheekily reductive. It's like, no, it's a action sequence that takes place in front of a building.
Yes, exactly. And it's not a great action sequence. Again, this movie, it's weird because I shouldn't have to be defending it because it's not amazing.
There are some pretty glaring problems with it. But.
Yeah. I just went into this movie expecting gibberish because that's what the critics seemed to be saying it was. Like, I thought it was going to be batshit. And it was just like, no, this is just like a pretty good X-Men movie. It's actually, there's actually shit about it I really liked. The music, for example, I thought was really good. The editing, I thought was really good. A lot of the look of it, I thought was like the cinematography. This is like kind of a new director.
It's
He's a
good looking movie. The director, I want to point out, Simon Kinberg, is the guy that wrote X-Men The Last Stand.
Oof. Yeah, I mean, I will say, okay. I will say that this has similarities to X-Men The Last Stand.
Obviously.
In that both movies have a mutant character with a useless-ass power.
Dreadlocks Man?
Yeah, Dreadlocks Man. Loved him. Fantastic.
He was extremely my shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's like holding his own against Storm.
Yeah, it's
like,
great.
No, he's not.
No, he's not. You can kill him immediately. I think there's parts of Last Stand. They definitely the
don't,
Phoenix.
Don't you say it.
What?
Yeah, I thought you were about to say there's parts of Last Stand that are better than this movie.
Well, no, it's not that their parts are. It's that, like, I thought the Dark Phoenix was scarier in The Last Stand in the sense that she killed more innocent people.
Yeah, they treated the storyline very different in this movie.
Yes.
Signaled first by the fact that there's a villain in the film and it's not Phoenix.
Yes. That was a little, I don't know how I feel about that.
Well,
I get it.
Yeah,
it's
kind of like antithetical to the original Chris Claremont comic book storyline.
Right.
Where it's the whole point is that she's the villain, but an unwilling party to it. And so, like, she heroically destroys herself to also destroy the entity, which they have not been able to do yet. Well, actually, no, they do in this one.
Yeah.
So that's better. They had to have her boyfriend Wolverine kill her in The Last Stand.
But they didn't have Wolverine in this one. There's no Wolverine.
Thank God.
This, by the way, that is one thing. This was pointed out to me walking out. Just some weirdo who felt the need to talk to me, Jesus.
I was not into that.
Yeah, but she pointed out that, like, this fucks up the timeline, doesn't it? And it's like, oh, yeah, it does. Because Jean Grey is in the original X-Men, which are sort of still this, right? Like, Days of Future Past.
Only if you consider Days of Future Past.
Days of Future Past, and that's the same timeline as this.
Yeah, yeah.
It's, like, it doesn't make sense.
That was a bad movie.
Yes. What, Days of Future Past?
Yes.
This is hard, because judging X-Men films, it's a challenge, because most of them are bad. This is why I was saying at the started this, I like this movie, but also it's not as bad, because that to me is two different things, because I like all the X-Men movies. That doesn't make them good, you know?
Mm-hmm. For sure. Like, I like all the Jaws sequels.
Exactly. So I like Days of Future Past, but I can see how it might be a bad movie.
The ending really... Yeah, it was just Bryan Singer trying to be like, no, these are my movies, and everything that happened before is no longer counts. And it's like, stop it.
Yeah, there was definitely a tug of war.
Yeah, it's hard to consider placing these movies in the original timeline hurts them.
Yes.
So but they choose not to.
But they are. They are, technically. I don't know. It's madness.
Yes.
Because then there's also, like, the Deadpool timeline, and the fact that these X-Men exist in the Deadpool movies, which means, like, Colossus doesn't make sense anymore. I don't know. I can't even begin to figure out the timeline.
No, you have to just not... These movies, like the First Class movies, barely hang together on their own. So, like, if you're trying to connect all the X-Men movies, it's a fool's errand.
Right. And I think that's the saddest part about this movie to me, is that it's not that this movie's bad, it's that the series has been such a calamity up until this point, mm-hmm, that Dark Phoenix should be a bigger deal.
Well, they didn't.
It should be their end game.
Yeah, it should be. And they didn't establish Jean Grey as a character, which is the biggest problem with this film.
Yeah, she shows up one film before,
mm-hmm,
and it's like, hi, I'm Jean Grey. Oh, and I'm Dark
Phoenix. In a small
role.
Yeah. And in this movie, we're never given a sense, really, of her character.
No. It's not really... It doesn't feel about her.
No, this movie is about how the men in her life feel about her.
Yes. Yes, big issue with this movie.
Yeah.
Especially since they try to point it out. They have the "you should be called ex-woman" line, which I was like, oh, that's fun. But then they didn't commit to that.
Yeah, and they do the thing where they name the school after her at the end, which was kind of cool.
Right, but it's, yeah, the fact that, the fact that the fact that it's not about her makes that all kind of seem like it's just kind of pandering on the side.
Right. And the big climax is that she finally says, she finally gains control and, like, takes Jessica Chastain up into space and blows her up, and is like, Jessica Chastain, who is this alien, shape-shifting alien,
she
that
sure
wants
is.
To wants to take the Phoenix power for her and her race to build themselves a new planet because the Phoenix power destroyed their planet.
Right.
Jessica Chastain's like, your emotions make you weak. And she's like, no, they make me strong, and then blows them both up in space.
Yeah.
There's, like, we're never given, like, we don't know enough about, we're never given enough of Jean Grey's character to get the sense that she's even in control of herself.
Right. I mean, she was a side character.
Yeah.
Until this movie, she was a side character.
And then, because, like, they keep hammering on, like, you know, it starts out where she accidentally kills her mom in the beginning by causing a car accident. She has these outbursts because her power is so huge, she has difficulty controlling it. Like, we never get the sense that she's actually in control of her base power really that much.
Right.
And then there's this weird beat there where Jessica Chastain's like, your emotions make you weak. And it's like, no, that's not her character. Like, she's not worried. She doesn't think she's weak. She's afraid of her own strength.
Right.
Like, she never believed she was weak, even as a little right. girl.
Right, yeah. She's very, very powerful. Yeah, as a little girl, opposite. She's like, I break things. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the opposite. It's she should never thought she was weak.
I mean, she should have quoted the dead Kennedys and said, your emotions make you a monster. Because that's dead Kennedys. Right. I thought she was going to say that. I was like, oh, is she going to quote dead Kennedys? But, like, that's more fitting. That's actually a more fitting
yes.
way to say it, is that your emotions are ruining you, mm-hmm. not... Yeah, not making you weak. Yeah, they needed a plan, because that was, again, it was the saddest thing, is seeing this and not feeling the weight of the characters, not mm-hmm. caring when, you know, one of them dies or when one of them gets angry. I yeah. liked a lot of the dynamics of it. I liked that they're all like, I liked that Beast was like, fuck you, Charles.
Yeah.
Like, you suck. They had some really good scenes, because they're all very good actors, too.
Mm-hmm.
So they have all these really good scenes together, and yeah. they understand the emotional dynamics of it. They just didn't lead up into this movie. The last movie before this was Apocalypse, and yeah. it was like, who gives a shit about that movie?
Yeah.
And like, and then Days of Future Past, it was like switching channels. It's like they yeah. never, like, if you're gonna
they're so disparate. Like, the movies yeah. don't really connect.
It's the biggest
in a
lesson.
Meaningful way.
Yeah, the biggest lesson for Marvel, because it's the lesson is, if you're going to make 10 films, okay, sure, mm-hmm. I'll accept that. I'm not happy about it.
They have to escalate. They have to lead into each other and
know where you're heading.
Yeah,
because it's that thing of, and we've talked about this with trilogies, with Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, if you're going to make a bunch, know why you're doing it.
Right.
Or find a reason.
It should lead somewhere.
Yes. And that's not hard. People do it with TV shows all the time. You know? Like, that's what Marvel basically is doing. It's one long TV show now with their stuff. So you have to kind of watch them all like they're episodes of a show.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just, it's too little too late.
Yeah. Yeah, we're getting the effort for, like, again, a character that is barely exists in this series.
Right.
And she, it's so much so, it reminded me a little bit of the Fast and the Furious, what's his name? Paul Walker died in the middle of filming.
Right.
Where there's a set, because they didn't finish filming all of his scenes, there are several sequences where other characters are explaining to us how he feels.
Right.
And that's what's going on in this movie, except they don't have the excuse that Sophie Turner is dead, because she's super not.
Yeah, maybe she was doing all that Games of Thrones.
She's still in it a lot, though.
Yeah, it's she just, is, you're right.
Like, she's not the main character. Fucking Charles is the main character.
Yeah, which, right there, that's your problem.
Yeah.
Charles is... it's not like this is who he is, but like when yeah. they're fighting on the train, I laughed because they're all fighting and you can see in the corner of the frame, Charles just sitting there politely watching.
Yeah.
Because he can't do anything.
He can't do anything.
But like,
I mean, he can. He just can't walk. Like, he can't do like cool flips or anything like that. So
that's the thing, is he could do something. They could show him like doing psychic powers to like freeze people, and like, you know, he could do crazy shit. But they don't really use him in that sequence.
Well, no, that's because what immediately happens is Cyclops carries him into the next car to try to wake Jean.
They
up.
Do, yeah, they do brain stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, predictably, Jennifer Lawrence got the hell out of this series.
Oh, yeah, she got the shit murdered out of it.
Which is funny, because it feels like it might be the last one.
Oh, it for sure is. I mean, they finish... They end on a... They end with, you know, Jean explodes, but at the very end, you see the Phoenix in the sky, so it's like, oh, maybe she's not dead.
Right.
But they kind of close all of these characters up, right? Like... Beast
as
is now the headmaster. Charles retires, but like he and Eric meet at a cafe and are friends again. He's like, you should come to my island, Genosha, and live there.
Yeah, it's as much as they can close it.
Yeah.
Ever. Because there is no closure, right? Like, they're going to become Ian McKellen, Patrick Stewart. It's still a prequel series. Sort of. Except it's
kinda
not.
Kind of, sort of. It's
like,
not,
that's,
though. It's
again,
not.
This is...
You're telling me this takes place in 1992, so like James McAvoy and Michael Fassbender are not going to turn into Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen in 8 years.
Right, and this is the whole problem with the fucking series.
Yeah.
Is it was like, am I watching the end of a prequel series, or am I watching the end of a series? What am I watching? Because you've established yourself to being a prequel to the Patrick Stewart, Ian McKellen stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You've established that. And so if it's ending as a prequel, it would be like the Star Wars, where it's like, oh, we're seeing the origins come to be.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more like the closure of a series.
Yeah.
That has collapsed in on itself completely.
Right. I think it's, I mean, obviously First Class, it started out as a prequel series.
Mm-hmm.
I think they sort of abandoned that idea.
Well, yeah.
Rightfully so. It just needed
Days
to be its own
Days of Future Past
thing.
Was still prequel, but then... Mm-hmm. I think they also, I feel like, and this is probably why Jennifer Lawrence quit, like, or wanted to be killed off. Assuming she wanted that, I've just been assuming that about her. But mm-hmm. I think they keep thinking every movie is the last one. Like,
I don't know.
I think Days of Future Past, I think when they made that, they're like, okay, we're done. Like, that felt like they were trying to, they were going to do like.
It ends with a lead into Apocalypse, though.
Oh, God, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
God damn. They planned it enough to have post-credit sequences.
Mm-hmm.
This is a mess.
But the post-credit sequence in Apocalypse is a nod to Mr. Sinister, and that's mm-hmm. not what this movie is.
No, they lost that thread. I think it might be the New Mutants, or was he in Logan? No.
He was the Essex Corporation was in Logan, but Mr. Sinister himself doesn't show up.
Right.
And he was in the New Mutants, but they have taken him out in the reshoots.
Right. So I think they were trying to, like, I think what happened is Fox saw more potential in spinoffs for mm-hmm. a brief moment. Because, again, they just have no idea what they're doing with X-Men. So they're like, oh, Deadpool's working. Oh, that Logan movie people seem to like. And so maybe the Essex thing was them hinting at a spinoff, like mm-hmm. New Mutants. Because they teased the Phoenix in Apocalypse as well.
They do. She fucking turns into the Phoenix to kill Apocalypse.
Right, which doesn't make much sense.
It doesn't make any sense.
But it's Bryan Singer. I think it was Bryan Singer being like, I wanted to do Phoenix, goddammit, and I didn't get to the first time, but surely I'll do it the second time. Nothing's going to derail this plan. Yeah. And America was like, nope.
It's like,
you
all right, that's enough.
Need to
that's
leave.
Enough.
Yeah. Yeah. It's... I mean, it's not much, but that's something. The fact that he never gets to do Phoenix.
Yeah.
But yeah, and so I think it's just, I think there was just no one keeping track of any of this, of the canon, of where they were going.
No, no.
It's kind of like the Star Wars, but.
Very, very much like the Star Wars.
Yeah. But the people are more forgiving of the Star Wars, or there's more fans, or. they've been a little more careful. Like, it's, I don't like most of the Star Wars, but they're at least trying to keep it consistent.
Somewhat, yeah.
Somewhat.
Where they're not completely retconning what happened in the last film because they didn't have a plan for three movies.
Yeah. What happened in this movie, Tom?
Well, they go to space to save some astronauts. Like,
oh, right.
Which is the opening 10 minutes are the most hilarious portion of the movie. So I, for a moment there, I was like, ooh, this might be really bad.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the thing. I kept excitingly waiting for it to get really bad. And I was like, any second now, it's going to become
it doesn't.
Gibberish.
Yeah, it's, no, it's, I don't know why.
All right. If we want to keep talking about that aspect, I think critics are just, I think what Marvel has done is set the bar way higher or something.
Mm-hmm.
Where, like, I was trying to read some of the criticisms, and people were just saying, I don't know, people were saying, like, it's humorless or it's boring, and it's like,
There aren't very many jokes in it, that's for
sure. No, but, like, since when did all superhero films need that? Like, Marvel has set set this specific bar.
Mm-hmm.
That we're now comparing everything to, I think. That mm-hmm. said, the reason we're doing that is because Marvel films tend to be very entertaining and good. So
yeah.
But I am kind of baffled by.
Right, like, I don't know how you can watch Endgame.
Right.
Or Captain Marvel and think that this movie is any less coherent than those films.
Yes, that's the thing.
Like
why are they suddenly holding it to that standard?
I don't know.
What's incoherent about it? Like, they introduce aliens, which is should be a bigger deal. Aliens exist all of a sudden in this universe.
Mm-hmm. They sure do.
I understood what was happening. I was like, okay, they're the bad guys.
It wasn't hard to follow.
Yeah.
They go to space and save some astronauts, and there's a busted up space shuttle that's just in a dead spin. So Nightcrawler teleports Quicksilver over there. Neither one of them are wearing EVA suits.
Right. Well, they pretend. Yeah, you're right.
Doesn't matter.
They pretend they put that the thing over Nightcrawler's head.
The second time.
Yes.
The first time he goes over there, they have Storm use her powers to freeze the tears in the outside of the ship. Which is all well and good, but it's still been cracked open and depressurized and everything. So that was immediately funny because I'm like, Storm's power is to control the weather.
Right.
There's no weather in space.
Right. There's no oxygen.
Yeah. How is she creating ice, my man?
Well, okay. Yeah.
But that's not what
that
she
is,
does. She's not ice.
True.
Man. She controls the weather.
She doesn't create weather.
No. Well, yeah. I mean, she can create and direct weather patterns.
No, but I mean,
but she can't
she
create
needs
ice from her hand. Right. She needs the atmosphere.
Yeah.
So he teleports Nightcrawler and Quicksilver teleport in there and get all the astronauts out. And then the second time when they have to go back in and get the shuttle commander, Quicksilver tapes a space helmet on Nightcrawler's head, and that's it.
Yeah.
I mean, his hands are still exposed.
That was some lazy, lazy shit.
The rest of his body is
you can
exposed.
See his hands. You can see his hands.
And also, he teleports Jean over there, and Jean is fine.
Yeah, that's the thing, is I get that she's fine because she's like all the Phoenix and shit.
Not
or
yet.
Or something. But exactly. That's what... Well, even... Okay.
They don't
even
show her, like, create a little mind bubble around herself so
even
she can
she
breathe.
Even if she is somehow powerful enough... To handle that, no one knows that.
No.
So they just give Nightcrawler some protection, and they're like, and you too, Jean, go. Yeah, that was fucking weird.
That whole space sequence is like, and then they land, and like, Professor X has a phone directly to the, like, he picks up the phone, hello, Mr. President.
Yeah.
The first 10 minutes of this movie are fucking wild.
Yeah, the first 10 minutes are what I thought the rest of the movie was going to be.
Yeah, it's very Thunderbirds in the first 10 minutes.
But it really isn't past that. It's not as crazy. And it would have been so fun if it was. That's the thing. I think I liked this movie fine. Mm-hmm. I would have liked it more if it was the crazy piece of crap people were saying it was.
I kind of appreciated that it was serious after that moment.
Yeah, yeah. Again, I really liked the tone. I liked the music a lot.
Yeah, Hans Zimmer was a the theme throughout the it becomes real obvious for the end credits song.
I like this is one where I was like, I might buy the soundtrack to this because they had this like weird retro kind of soundtrack going on, but it was like kind of intense at the same time.
Right, like the main theme throughout the film is this really kind of low and ominous score. So everything about the movie felt very ominous. It felt like it felt like it had weight, even though we had like zero attachment to Jean Grey's character.
And that's the thing. It nothing about the direction, the way the movie was made, was bad.
No.
And not even the script is that bad. The lines are hammy, but like
there's sometimes good ones.
But the dynamics of the characters and stuff made sense.
For the most part.
It's really that it was completely unearned.
Yes.
And it's too small. It should be a two, like, this should be a two-parter. This should be one of those situations where the Phoenix, the Dark Phoenix, is so scary that you're wondering, like, how the fuck are they even going to handle her? You know?
Right.
Like, and so they kind of cop it out with how it goes. Because they create that villain to, like, suck some of her powers and give her something. You know, like, if this was, like, a two-part movie that was all about Jean Grey's, like, arc into sacrificing herself, that would have been fucking fantastic. But I know why they didn't do that, because, no, they're not. Fox is like, we're not giving you money for that. You're barely hanging on as it is. You know, like, you have to do a Dark Phoenix and you have to close out the series. That's what it felt like. Which, I mean, X-Men 3 was also that.
Yeah, woof.
Yeah. Again, woof, but like at least X-Men 3 and like there's like Alcatraz and water going everywhere and it's like huge and epic and people are exploding. This one, like, I liked the ending. I liked the look of it all, but it didn't feel like the world was in danger at any point.
No, not really.
Not like Apocalypse had a bigger ending. Apocalypse was a bigger threat, it seemed.
Yeah.
And that movie was terrible.
Yeah, that's a god-awful movie.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe my eyes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, I don't know what else to say about this movie, which sucks because we're only like 26 minutes in.
I don't know. I'm sure there's stuff I can think
gotta
to say.
Be something else.
What are some other scenes?
All the stuff with Charles is real bizarre. Like, they invent this excuse that he put in mind barriers in young Jean Grey's mind to protect her from the trauma of knowing that she had killed her mom. And that's, like, the stupidest thing you could do.
Right, but that's what they did in the other one, too, didn't they?
Maybe. Like, it didn't make it less dumb.
That's what I liked about both versions of this story, is that Xavier is not a good guy in either of them. Like, it's a reveal that he's been doing something really fucked up.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, what the fuck? Like, in the other one, it was Wolverine.
It doesn't make any sense.
Right. Beast is Wolverine in this one, by the way. It's basically...
Yes, essentially.
Yeah. It doesn't make sense, but it didn't in the other one, which I guess, I don't know why I'm holding it to
it
the
It still doesn't make sense. Like, it's like everything we know about Charles and his character, like, he wouldn't do that. Like, prevent... You like, he keeps talking about, like, we can work through this, I can help you make it better, but, like, first I'm gonna use my mutant powers to repress your biggest trauma. It's like, that's not how you work through trauma, my man.
Here's,
like,
my question.
You're a professor.
So that's not anything that was in the original comics.
No.
Why is it in both movies? I just assumed
both movies are written by the same guy.
Right. I just assumed that was something in the comics because it was in both.
Nope.
That's hilarious.
They're both written by the same guy. That's the only reason they're in both films.
Why did they let him do that?
I don't know.
All right, again, this movie isn't the worst. But, like, if I were a producer and the guy who made the really shitty movie was like, just give me another shot to do the same thing again. And it's like, yeah, sure, kid. Like, why give him a second chance?
I don't know.
Why would they do that? That's so weird.
I don't know.
It came again. He definitely did better the second time.
Yeah,
but, like,
it's a better movie. But it's the I appreciate the character dynamics and the conflict, but like the main part of the conflict is just such an out of character thing for Professor X to have done. It's like,
right.
No, he of all people would realize, because that's a whole point of the what he does in First Class with Magneto. He's like, no, you have to face what your trauma, your grief is, and like work
right.
through it. And that'll help you control your powers better. He does the fucking exact opposite with Jean Grey.
Yeah.
Who's way stronger than Magneto.
They should have just had
baffling.
Him. In all the flashbacks, they should have just had him shit-faced. So
right.
Like, I'll take you, kid. I'll take you, kid. It's fine.
He does drink a lot in this movie.
Yeah, he does.
Like, Chuck stays wet in this one.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
well,
he's
for
throwing
good reason.
Some back.
Mystique got murdered, so
yeah, Mystique gets murdered, and he wheels into the kitchen, and Beast is sitting there in the dark with like a water glass full of gin or vodka.
I don't know. Is there? Is it? He might just be drinking water.
No, you see it. You see the bottles on the counter.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, because Charles
yeah, everybody's
grabs
getting
some
shit
of his
faced.
Own. Oh,
which
yeah,
is
people
weird
get housed in this movie.
Which okay, I get that, but it's a school, so mm-hmm. like. The teacher's lounge. They need a teacher's lounge for that shit. The school
yeah,
aspect
it
is always
should just
weird.
Be in the yes.
Like imagine going to high school, and like you have to worry about like puberty and talking to the other kids and doing a prom. I assume they must do some sort of fucked up mutant prom. You have
oh,
to
yeah.
you have to worry about all that. But also, like, your teacher, like, murdered the other teachers and, like, can explode guys. And then, like, your psychic teacher's getting shit-faced in the cafeteria. And,
yeah,
like,
that can't be good.
It just seems... It's. I mean, we've talked about this on several podcasts or articles or whatever, but he is raising child soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked that they were starting to address that, because I do think Professor X, kind of a dark character. Because he super
bit, yeah.
is raising child soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
And Mystique kind of is like that. She's like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, you just sent us into space?
Yeah.
Like,
to get in good with the president?
Yeah.
What is wrong with you?
Mm-hmm. And it's... There's definitely an element... I think I might have wrote about this on Cracked, is that the third X-Men
mm-hmm.
shows that parents exist. Like, these aren't all orphans. Like, there's
the second
a scene
one
where
does,
the
but yeah
the second one does, like, the parents yeah. are picking them up and dropping them off, and it's like, what do those parents think about any of this? Like, some of the kids are staying overnight, sure, those are the ones who are orphans, I guess, but there are some, there's mutants that the parents are like, yeah, we'll bring you to this place. I bet it must suck, because for a lot of them, I bet it's a long drive.
Oh, for
because
sure.
There's the only... do you think there's more than one? Do you think anybody started a competing mutant school? Like a cheaper
no.
one?
No, I don't think so.
Why don't they do X-Men about that? About some guy making like a better or cheaper mutant school?
why don't they do X-Men about like...
About
competing
school.
Schools?
Well, like a guy who's just like, yeah, I'm also teaching the mutants like math and stuff, but mm-hmm. I'm not making them child soldiers.
Right, I'm not also dressing them up in combat yeah. uniforms and putting them on a jet.
Yeah. Yeah,
go,
I don't have
to
a
go
jet.
Fight other, like, magic metahumans.
I'm not a crazy rich guy.
To go fight other wizards.
Yeah. Because that's the other thing that bothers me, is... The humans turn on them so fast.
Oh, instantly.
So fast.
Like, they were waiting for it.
And, like, what do they think is going to happen? Like, do they think they can handle it? Like, at that point, I would do nothing but contact the X-Men and be like, hey, help? Help.
Yeah, how do we do this?
Don't you have, like, a metal guy? Like, can you do anything? Because I don't think guns are going to work on her. Yeah, it's... I don't know. It's always weird to me that humans hate the X-Men. Because, like, I would do nothing but want to hang out with someone like Magneto.
Right. Like, I would, yeah.
I would hang out with him all the time. I would
enter those sweepstakes.
Yeah,
to
I would wear...
Win a hangout with Magneto.
Yeah, I'd get, like, cool metal boots and be like, Magneto, make me fly!
Make me fly, bro!
Fly me around for fun! Like, I just don't get why, yeah, I don't understand how humans could be so mad with mutants, especially since most of the mutants can just disintegrate them at any moment.
Yeah, there's, well, during that street fight sequence, Cyclops is really letting his eye lasers go, like,
yeah,
inches above people's heads.
Yeah, Cyclops.
Cyclops is such a douche.
Cyclops has yet to matter in any of these movies.
Nope.
Like, even when he technically does matter, when, like, he's mourning Jean Grey's death in the second one, or that's the third one.
That's the third one.
And then he dies and no one cares.
Nope.
Because why would you?
Why would you care?
Yeah.
Why would you care about Cyclops?
No.
Why would you waste your time?
Yeah, and that's definitely... Like, when Mystique dies in this, I didn't care.
No.
And that's the problem with the series. Like, I cared... I mean, to an extent, when fucking Patrick Stewart died in the third one,
mm-hmm,
because he's Patrick Stewart. When I thought they were going to kill Michael Fassbender in this one, I was like, oh, shit. That, yeah. I might care about that a little bit, but that's,
right,
they didn't,
but
do
they,
that.
They, no, they didn't. They're not going to do that.
They killed the one actress who, like, clearly didn't want to be there. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's mediocre. It's a very mediocre film.
It's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like we're going back and forth, but I think people will understand, like, the critics are way too hard on this movie.
Yeah, I really don't understand that.
I was super entertained.
Yeah, the incoherent comment is baffling to me. I'm like, what about this movie was difficult to follow? Mm-hmm. It's very basic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was genuinely disappointed that it wasn't crazy.
Right.
I was waiting for the, like, there was one moment where I was like, oh, is it going to get crazy? And that's when they do their weird teen party, their mutant teen party.
Oh, with Dazzler.
Yeah. Where I couldn't figure out what the fuck I was seeing at first. So I was like, what is this? And then, yeah, they established, oh, they're getting drunk in the woods. Mm-hmm. While Beast and Mystique are just watching.
Beast is watching them with, like, a thermal imaging camera.
Yeah.
Like, he's, like, stalking them like Predator.
Why is he doing that?
What are you
that?
Doing? Why is that there?
No, I'm not sure. I'm not sure what they were
doing. He's trying to make sure the students don't get too horny.
Yeah. Yeah, he's waiting to see if their crotches light up. No, that's only for that one fucking...
Yeah.
Thing. What'd you think of the aliens' powers to make swirlies in the chest swirlies?
Well, that was kind of cool.
Yeah, I thought that was neat.
Just crush people.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, again, they don't explain what the aliens are, but it didn't matter.
No, they're just aliens.
I got it. Yeah, I got it. It was like, oh, okay, aliens.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it would have been cooler if they had established them in a couple movies and made me care about them as villains. Again,
yeah.
It's all about the series this movie exists in, I think.
Yeah.
And that there's just very little lead up.
There's none.
Yeah. Except for teasing Dark Phoenix.
Yeah, that's true. But we get so little of her character that it's like, I don't know. Yeah, it was, yeah.
I'm gonna say the overall thought I have for this movie is disappointing. And what I mean by that is that it's not so crazy, like so crazy bad, like the critics say, that it's entertaining from that point of view.
Yeah,
instead,
I agree with that.
Yeah, instead it's quite good in places.
Yeah.
Not bad at all, but contained within a franchise that didn't know what to do with it.
Right. It didn't have the gravitas that it needed.
Yeah, and I think you're right. Of the new ones, it's at least the second best, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Like, if you could rank these, it'd be, what, First Class, this?
And then this one, yeah.
And then Days of Future Past?
Well, you wouldn't put Apocalypse third.
No, you wouldn't.
Apocalypse is one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my life.
Would you count the Wolverine movies in there? Do you want to factor
Woof.
Those
nah,
in?
No, I don't want to think about that. Those are their own thing.
Remember the Wolverine?
Yes.
This is controversial, but we've talked about this, is that Logan, we both agree Logan was way overhyped as well.
Overrated, every bit as dumb as any other X-Men movie.
Yeah, okay, this is a good statement about Logan, is it's just as good as this movie.
Yeah, sure.
It's just done in a slightly darker tone. They just add some Johnny Cash or whatever into the soundtrack. Like, it's not, Logan is just a dumb X-Men movie, plot point by plot point. In fact, yeah, it's dumber at times than this movie. The farmhouse sequence is a dumb thing. That's a dumb thing.
it's incredibly dumb.
And so it's weird that, like, there's... like, this movie is getting such low ratings, and Logan got such high ratings, when in the reality is that they're both about in the middle, you know? Maybe a 60. Like, they're not...
I agree with that.
Yeah. It's just weird. I feel like we have a weird relationship with these movies.
Yeah, I don't know.
I guess... I'll go to my grave trying to figure out why Logan was so well loved. It's like, what? Because he says fuck a bunch. There's an F bomb in this.
There's an F bomb in every single one of these new ones.
Yeah, because they really get the most out of that PG-13.
I don't know why that became a thing, but it did.
I don't know.
It's like their "I'll be back."
Yeah, yeah. It's their famous the X-Men logo, and under it just fuck quotes.
Fuck.
Yeah,
I mean, it was really funny in First Class when they approach Wolverine at a bar and he just says, fuck off.
Yeah,
that was funny.
Great.
Don't know why we needed the F-bomb in every single other one.
Right. The Wolverine can is insane, right?
Don't even try. Don't do it. Don't go down that road.
Because as you mentioned, in First Class, they approach Wolverine, right?
Yeah.
He tells them to fuck off.
Uh-huh.
Meanwhile, I guess that's because then in Apocalypse, he escapes Stryker's lab. So I guess he could have been kidnapped by Stryker before.
He is kidnapped by Stryker at the end of Days of Future Past.
You're right, he is. But Stryker is Mystique in that part. Don't they show, like, the eyes it's Mystique?
Maybe.
This is baffling. Is Mystique trying to reset the timeline? I got to go back and look at that. I got to watch Days of Future Past again. I love trying to figure out the canon of these movies, specifically because I know that the writers didn't.
No, they're like Bond movies. They don't really connect.
No, they don't. But like, I think I wrote an article for Cracked linking Prometheus, Aliens, Predators, and the Alien versus Predator stuff together. Like, making it all work, and I think it was fun to do, because it was clearly not the intent, but, like, you can do enough mental gymnastics to fit it all, and I'm just, like, trying to make it fucking fit.
That's another thing.
Shitty universe.
Another example of why these movies clearly barely connect to each other, let alone the rest of the X-Men films, is that X-Men First Class takes place in the 1960s.
Yeah.
Beast should be approaching 60. Doesn't look any different.
It's so true. What's going on?
Charles and Eric, also not aging much.
They're not aging much at all.
It has been 30 years.
What's going on?
Nobody's aging.
What are they doing? What are they doing with this series? It's madness.
It's madness. Like, it doesn't... Who cares?
They need to... Jesus Christ. Like,
We see, like, for instance, we see that in Apocalypse, they go to see Return of the Jedi, which came out in 1983. Ergo, that movie takes place in 1983.
Right.
This one takes place in 1992. It is 10 years later. Cyclops and Storm and Jean have not aged.
No, they try to act like they're ex-students now, but they have not aged.
No.
Have not aged. That's bonkers.
Yeah.
They need to... I want to watch
Quicksilver? Fucking Quicksilver was like a teen living with his mom in the 70s, and he looks the fucking same.
Yeah, I like how they went ahead and took him out as Quicksilver is that thing of every movie with him in it has to figure out how to not have him in it.
Yes.
And in this one, they just kind of take him out early.
Yeah.
Which was whatever. God, these movies. I mean, they. We still can expect New Mutants, right?
Presumably.
And that's unrelated to this series.
Correct.
Okay. Like, not even close.
As far as I know.
Okay. They should just... like, I'm okay with them doing what Sony did with Spider-Man. I'm okay with Fox being like, all right, well, Disney, you own us. Let's wait a year, and let's just reintroduce them.
See what happens. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking, who gives a shit?
And you know what? Make them their own separate movie, and then audiences will cream themselves when they do, like, the one where Spider-Man shows up. You know, like... That sort of thing, where, like, do it the way they did Guardians of the Galaxy, where it's, like, separate fucking movies. Just reestablish the X-Men universe. Make fucking 10 more. I don't give a shit. I don't know.
Yeah, who cares?
Who cares? That's what this one should have been called.
X-Men, who cares?
Who cares? Who cares? Yeah. Yeah. I would say if you're like me and for some reason you... Like, here's the thing. I grew up on the animated series. I never read a comic, an X-Men comic in my life. I don't feel anything about any of it. But I can't stop watching the movies.
Yeah.
I don't know why, though. I enjoy every single one. So if you feel that same way, this movie isn't going to hurt you. You know? You're going to enjoy it.
Yeah, I mean, it really isn't bad.
I don't understand. If you liked First Class, you'll probably like this one. If you liked First Class and thought the other one sucked, you still might like this one.
This one is closer in tone and execution to First Class. First Class is better, no question. But
yeah, I don't know. This wasn't bad. It's a small scale in terms of action, I guess.
Yeah, there's like one or two big set pieces.
Small scale in terms of what we're used to now.
In terms of a cosmic force threatening the entire world, yeah.
Yeah, that was... Again, it should have been their end game. It should have been like an army of people taking her on, but they clearly couldn't do that. So instead, it's a train. It's a train.
It's a train. It's a pretty cool sequence on a train, but...
It's a pretty cool train sequence, but I did have that moment watching it of being like, oh no, is this it? Is this the final
this
sequence?
This is the end, yeah.
Yeah, are we going to be on this train for the rest of the movie? Oh, shit.
We get to a train yard.
That's true, yeah. And then briefly into space.
Mm-hmm. Briefly in space.
Yeah. The set pieces, it's space, neighborhood, street, train, space.
Mm-hmm.
Which
it's bookended.
Yeah. It's still better than I would have thought.
It's better than Last Stand, man.
Oh yeah, better than Last Stand. But again, the one thing I'll say Last Stand had over this one is it felt bigger.
It did, yeah.
And it needed to be. I think Dark Phoenix should be a big story.
It should be, yes, and they still haven't managed to pull it off. They've tried it twice.
Yep. Oh God. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They tried it fucking twice and used the same guy for both. Mm-hmm. Who would have thought?
Same fucking guy.
Who would have thought it would go wrong? Like, holy fucking shit, studios. Like, this is literally them not learning from their mistake. Like, that's ridiculous. That's insane. Like, I get when, like I get that, like, the guy did GoldenEye did Casino Royale. And it's like, yeah, that makes sense. You did. You got a hit. You need to reboot Bond. Let's get him again.
Yeah, do it again.
This time they're like, oh, we need to do Dark Phoenix again. Let's get the other guy. And
someone's
let's get like,
the only person in the world who could possibly try to crack this nut.
Yeah, and it's like, you mean the guy who fucked it up the first time? Like, yeah, let's get him again.
Yeah, him.
Him. That's who we need. Set it on Alcatraz again. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah. Who cares?
Who cares? Oh my God. Yeah, now thinking of like when she disintegrates people in this one, it's the exact same thing she does in the third. Like, because it's the same fucking guy making it. Which again, he definitely did better this time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess, yeah. maybe if they let him do a third one, that he'll finally get it right.
He'll get marginally better each time.
Yeah.
So we can look forward to a slightly better version of the Dark Phoenix story in another 15 years.
It's insane that we allow movies to take so many mulligans now.
We don't have a choice. I mean, we cannot see it. That's all we can do.
Yeah.
We can't stop them from making this shit.
On principle. Because, like, it's like those amazing Spider-Mans. And when they were like, we're making a new one. And, like, on principle, it's like, no, you shouldn't get to make a new one. You shouldn't get to. You're done. Like, it should be like there should be a cooldown, like when you die too many times in a video game.
Yes.
Where it's like, okay, you're in timeout for at least 10 years, you know? Yeah. But it worked. That's the problem, is that then when they rebooted Spider-Man, it was like, there we go. We got it.
Yeah, this guy's good.
Yeah. It's just, I think part of it's just like, who cares? Like I've been saying with the X-Men, it's like I can watch a million more of these. So I guess that's why we let them get away with this, because of dickheads like me who is just like, yeah, I'll watch a third Dark Phoenix movie. I don't give a fuck.
Shit. Yeah, I'll see fucking every single movie you put Spider-Man in. I don't care.
How many Wolverine origins you want to make? I don't care. I'll see like five of origins, five different ways he loses his memory.
Every single one I will watch.
Yeah. Hugh Jackman.
Because I don't care.
Yeah.
Let's
get more Hugh Jackman.
It's a fine note to end this episode on.
Yeah, this feels like a manic episode because, like, I'm exhausted with the series, but this movie was okay, and
yeah,
the critics
enjoyed it fine.
Got it wrong, and it's just like, yeah, it's fine. I don't know.
Yeah, it's fine. So go out and see it if you like fine movies about X-Men.
Yes. If you like watching fucking a guy whip his hair at people.
Yeah, that guy was nuts.
Yeah, I like the effort.
He has to work real hard to make that kind of any kind of formidable.
He must have had imposter syndrome. He's on that train because he kind of falls into it. Like, it feels like Magneto is like, hey, come help me do this errand. And then next thing he knows, he's on a train just like, I am not prepared to fight aliens with my hair. Like,
but that, I guess I'll give it a shot.
Yeah, I guess I'm going to give it a shot. I'm dead. He dies, right? Spoilers. Hair guy dies.
I don't think so. I can't remember.
I don't know. I do not remember his fate.
No.
Hmm.
His psychic lady dies. She gets thrown out of the train.
Yeah, she gets like grabbed by the head.
Mm-hmm.
And pulled out, and she was like, she was psychic-ish, wasn't she?
Yeah, ish.
Like, I felt like Magneto was like, I don't want another bald psychic friend, and then ran into her and was like, God damn it, how psychic are you?
Yeah,
and she was like, I'm only a little psychic, and he's
do
like,
I have
all
a
right.
sign on me.
Like, yeah, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's a sode. Yeah, let's get out of here.
Yeah.
Dave, what do we got going on?
We got a Patreon.
We do.
It's patreon.com/gainfullyunemployed. You can check it out. If you subscribe to us, you get some exclusive podcasts like Tom and Jeff Watch Batman and Fox Mulder is a Maniac.
Woo!
They're two shows about exactly what they sound like they're about.
Yeah.
We got a TeePublic, TeePublic.com/store/gainfullyunemployed. I never plug our Twitter. We're at our Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
Gainfully Un. And then we got the story mode Twitter. So, follow us. Do that.
Yeah, you can find us all over the place, man.
We're infectious. We're spreading. There's nothing you can do about it.
No, much like a second Dark Phoenix movie, there's nothing you could do about it.
We're inevitable. Yep.
Yep.